Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In-studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and a break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Later in the show, we will be joined by LSU head coach Will Wade. Want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also send me your questions on Twitter. I'll get to them later in this podcast. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John J. J-O-N. Today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast is being brought to you by Geico. Did you know there is a quick way you could save money? Switch to Geico. All it takes is 15 minutes to find out if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. And Geico offers coverage for more than just car insurance. Got a motorcycle? Geico's got you covered. Got an RV? Covered. Got a boat? Covered. How about homeowners or renters insurance? You bet Geico's got you covered. Go to Geico.com today and see how much you could save. That's Geico. .com. And now that we've got you set for all your Geico needs, let's get to some headlines.
John's big three thoughts from the weekend.
I'm going to give you three.
We start in East Lansing, Michigan, where Murphy's Law has hit Michigan State. After the win over Ohio State on Sunday, Michigan State announced that Nick Ward is out indefinitely with a hairline fracture in his left hand. There's no timetable for his return, but he hopes to be back by the end of the regular season. What is happening now in East Lansing? You've already lost Joshua Lankford for the season with an injury. Kyle Arns has been in and out of the lineup with a back injury. And now Nick Ward, whatever has been able to go wrong for Michigan State is going wrong for Michigan State. Remember this, at full strength, this team lost just two games. Once to Kansas in the Champions Classic when the Jayhawks had a healthy Udoka Azubuike, and then once at Louisville in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. Headline number two, Kelvin and everyone else. With 3 weeks left in the regular season, Kelvin Sampson has emerged as the favorite for National Coach of the Year. Houston is 25-1. After Sunday's win at Tulane, and they're one play away from being undefeated. If you remember when Houston played at Temple earlier this year, Corey Davis, when the Cougars were down by two at the buzzer, scored, but they called an offensive foul on him. If you're Houston right now and you're thinking about what is about to happen in the next 4 to 6 weeks, you're looking at a coach in Kelvin Sampson who has Houston one play away from being 26-0 and 25-1 overall in a job that is not even a top four or five job in its own league. So there's a lot of pressure right now for Houston's administration to lock this guy up for the long term before a job that could open on the coaching carousel this spring could interest him. Houston is 25-1 in college basketball. Things you never thought you'd say on a podcast. And then lately, one thing that's been really coming to the forefront for Houston is the seed conversation. And this is what I've been talking about. Last year, a precedent was set in the American Conference when Cincinnati got a 2 seed, that league, which is not considered a quote-unquote power conference, had the ability to get at that highest seed in the NCAA tournament. If Michigan State obviously is affected by the Nick Ward injury, which I talked about prior to this, I think you could see a situation where Houston gets to the 2 line. And the last headline I want to take away from the weekend is the storm warning. And St. John's went through a feast or famine season this year. There was ups, there was downs. But the win over Villanova on Sunday at Madison Square Garden essentially cemented the Red Storm of their first NCAA tournament appearance since 2015. You look at things right now, and I've said it before and I'll say it again, this is the most talented roster in the Big East. They haven't always played that way, but St. John's had two of its star players, Shamari Pons and Marvin Clark, go combined 4 of 24 against Villanova, and the Red Storm still won the game. One team that's doing a lot of winning is the LSU Tigers. They had that magical victory over Kentucky last week at Rupp Arena, and head coach of LSU, Will Wade, joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein coming up next. LSU bursted onto the national scene last week with two huge wins, one at Kentucky, the other at Georgia. The Tigers are 21-4 and 11-1 in the SEC after those two wins last week. And the head coach of LSU is Will Wade. He joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein right now. And Will, where does last week rank among the best you've ever lived on Earth?
It's definitely in the top 10 in terms of good weeks. I would definitely say that. Winning at Kentucky and then winning at Georgia, it was a tough stretch for us. We had 3 of 4 on the road at Mississippi State. We played Auburn at home. We played at Kentucky and at Georgia. So it was a very, very difficult stretch for us. And for us to come out of that stretch 4-0, it was definitely great work by our guys and a good week for sure.
Now, Will, everybody knows your story. You were obviously a student manager at Clemson, and then you worked your way up the coaching ladder to the position you're in today. But for you personally, forget about winning the game at Kentucky. What was the feeling like when you think about the path that you've taken just to get ready to coach a game like that at Rupp Arena?
Well, I don't get too caught. You try not to get too caught up in that as you're preparing for the game. But when you do get out there and there's 24,000 people and you're sitting there thinking, man, I worked Tubby Smith's basketball camp and we toured this place. Now here I am leading my team onto the court with a good chance to win the game in a place like that. So it is neat, growing up a college basketball fan, an SEC fan and obviously knowing how dominant Kentucky's been and what a great home court Kentucky has. It was a great experience for me personally, but more importantly, it was just great for our players to see their faces in that locker room after we won, and for our fans and for our state. It's really galvanized our fan base and our state, and everybody's really excited about our basketball team.
Now, you finish obviously off Kentucky in dramatic fashion, because it's not like you salted the win away. You win on a tip shot at the buzzer. You have to do all your media responsibilities after that. How many text messages did you have on your phone when you finally turned it on after the game?
Well, we don't like to do anything easy, so we only win in dramatic fashion, especially on the road. We've won 3 in overtime, and we tipped the Kentucky one at the buzzer, 1-4 at Georgia. So we don't make it easy on ourselves for sure. I believe you'd say you need your nitroglycerin pills if you watch us. But, when I got to my phone, I remember the number. I had 158 text messages from different folks when I turned my phone on. So it was good. It was a primetime Super Tuesday game, so a lot of people were watching. It was fun to hear from some folks that I hear from after every game, and then obviously hear from some folks who I hadn't heard from in a while and reconnect with some people. So there's nothing better than going back to your phone after you win and looking at your text messages and then going to check everybody else's score that night after you've won.
Now, I remember attending one of your practices when you were the head coach at VCU, and I noticed that you wore a towel around your neck, and you told me that you did that to remind yourself that you started as a manager when you were at Clemson. Is it hard to stay the same person when you go from being a manager and then obviously a coach at Chattanooga and then a coach in Atlantic 10 to then coaching against John Calipari in Kentucky at Rupp Arena with the top 25 team?
Well, you try to stay grounded and remember your roots and be who you are. So I'm a pretty simple guy. I'm a basic guy. I don't change a whole lot. I still help with our baggage on the road and unload the bus, load the plane and unload the plane and that sort of thing when we're traveling. So I'm pretty simple guy, pretty basic guy. And so I try not to change too much, and you just got to be yourself and be who you are. And that's how I grew up, and those are my roots. And so I try to stick to those roots.
LSU head coach Will Wade joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Tigers are 21-4 overall, 11-1 in SEC play heading into their next game this week against Florida. Now, you told us on this podcast last summer that this was going to be the most talented team that you'd ever coached. You lose back-to-back games in the state of Florida in November against Florida State and Oklahoma State. Then you lost another tough one against Houston, one of the best teams in the country. In hindsight now, what was the reason for that funk at the start of the season?
Well, we were, as a coach, you want everything to happen immediately and very, very quickly. But sometimes it's like you plan a season, you've got to grow a little bit, and things have got to happen time, and we probably tried to rush the process a little bit too much early, and we weren't ready for those caliber games. We weren't ready to close out those type games at that point, and we didn't have the physicality that we needed at that point. And so, you know, it's just a matter of, to our guys' credit, you know, we really grew from those games. I don't think we'd be where we are now and learn the lessons, you know, particularly from the trip to Florida. And then our guys learned some great lessons from Houston, and I learned some great lessons from Houston. We've really been a different team since that Houston game. I've had to change some things with me and my coaching staff to make sure we're reaching these guys and getting the most out of them. And our players have certainly changed some things as well, and allowed us to really come together and have great chemistry. And we've got a very, very good way about us right now. And I think a lot of it's due to the hardships that we had, you know, in non-conference. Talent doesn't guarantee anything. Talent's just the price of admission. Then once you get in, you got to do the work. And I think we've learned that, and we've got to, you know, we've certainly come from those games, and it's helped us here in league play so far.
Now, you signed one of the best players in the country last year, who's been a key piece to your rotation, in Javonte Smart, but a lot of people don't realize this. You made a tweak in your alignment after you lost some of those early games, and you opted to put Javonte Smart into a reserve role and insert Marlon Taylor into the starting lineup. What was behind that switch?
Well, we've got, you know, we started a bunch of different lineups early on, and we've got eight guys who all play for us, who are all capable of starting for us or for most teams in the country. We've inserted Marlon. Marlon's just a guy who can get his athleticism into the game, and he's somebody who, you know, really, really can guard and gets on the offensive glass. He just does a lot of the little things that really contribute to winning. It's also helped Javonte a lot. It's helped Javonte be able to, you know, he was picking up a lot of fouls early in games, so it's helped with his foul rate. His foul rate's way down since we started bringing him off the bench. I think he's been able to look at the game, adjust a little bit based on how the officials are calling it, see how the ball screens are being played, see how they're play him based on how they play Trey and Skyler when we start the game. And then he's able to really get in there and get humming from then on out. But it's been really good for our team. I think our rotations are crisp. Our rotations are tight. Everybody understands their roles a lot better since we've gone to this rotation. And that's certainly been beneficial for us.
You know, there was a report out last week that, you know, in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, they were running out of thesauruses for people because there wasn't enough adjectives to describe Tremont Waters. Of all the players that you've coached in your career, either as an assistant or a head coach, where does he rank in terms of his value to your team?
I mean, he's the heart and soul of our group. He's the point guard. He's the leader, and you know, we trust him implicitly with the ball in his hand. He does a great job of you know, scoring the ball when he needs to score the ball, distributing the ball when he needs to distribute the ball, and so. You know, I feel like he's one of the best point guards in the country. I wouldn't trade him for any other point guard in the country. We love him. He's an elite point guard. And, you know, he's leading the conference in steals. He gets his hands on a lot of balls. He's just very, very active. He's grown so much between his freshman and sophomore years. He's having a phenomenal year, and his year has really mirrored the year that our team has had.
You know, well, obviously, Tremont Waters and your perimeter is going to get a lot of attention. But your front court coming in, a lot of people were looking at Naz Reid as being obviously the focal point. But I really felt this way after, you know, you played a couple of games in November, December. You have kind of college basketball's version of the four horsemen with your four front court guys. What did it show you last week when they were able to go into Rupp Arena and kind of trade blows tit for tat with Kentucky's front court? The production between the four bigs on each team was almost identical.
I love our front court guys. I love our big guys. Cavell Bigby Williams has been phenomenal for us this year. He's had five double-doubles in league play, and he's been, you know, he had 9 points and 8 rebounds at Georgia Saturday. He's been close in a couple other games. He's made just some huge, huge plays for us. Emmett was great for us at Kentucky, and he's been great most of the year as well. He had 12 points, 5 of 5 from the field, 2 of 3 from the free Days and Nas are more skilled guys. Days can step out and make three. He's been shooting 44% from three in his last five or six SEC games. And then Nas is just having, the best freshman year, one of the best freshman years in the history of the Southeastern Conference. He's the only player in the league since 1992-93 to average 15 points a game on 50% shooting from the field, 40% shooting from three, and 80% from the free throw line. So he's just having a phenomenal year. And, you combine all those guys together, they're unselfish. They play really well together. They play off each other. They pass to each other. And, I just love their motors. They get on that offensive glass. They go to that offensive glass. They don't want to be denied getting that ball off the backboard. And so I feel like we've had a good group, a group that plays really hard, but we're still learning and growing and getting better. There's some areas for improvement with our bigs, but I like where we are now and where we're heading with them.
Well, you're in a situation right now where, most of these teams have six conference games left to play, and you can start looking at who's going to be in position to win the Southeastern Conference when it's one of the top two or three conferences in college basketball. Have you broached that topic yet with your team?
Well, we've talked more about the traits that it takes to win, to be a championship-level team. What are championship-level traits? What do you think championship-level teams do? So I try to focus more on the ingredients and everything that goes into it, as opposed to maybe the final result and winning a championship. So we focus more on that, just our daily habits and the little things that it's going to take for us to position ourselves to win the championship. So obviously Tennessee's great. And Tennessee, won the league last year, and Kentucky wins the league just about every year. And so, we've got, we're kind of the dark horse or the third horse in the race, the forgotten one. And so we're going to have to be really, really tight with what we're doing over these next six games and take it one day at a time, one game at a time, and just be very, very good at our details and understand that everything matters and do the best we can, see if we can unseat one of these two.
LSU head coach Will Wade joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Tigers right now 21-4 overall, 11-1 in SEC play heading into their next game against Florida. Will, you were a part of a staff at VCU that went to the 2011 Final Four, but you have never been a part of a staff that has entered the NCAA tournament as a high seed in the 2 or 3 range. I'm curious, if you continue on your current trajectory, Is there anybody in your kitchen cabinet that you might consult on how to deal with the expectations of being a high seed in the NCAA tournament?
Well, that's a high class problem. That's a good problem to have. So I think in general, no matter what your seeding is, that the tournament's about matchups, and I think the formula for winning in the tournament is the same. I think you got to be attacking, you got to be aggressive, you got to give your guys confidence. You gotta play like there's no tomorrow, which there is if you get beat. I think the formula is the same. I don't think that for next year name, means all that much. It's more about the matchups and getting on that court and playing, playing the guy in front of you and how well you have your guys in a mind frame to perform that day is the most important part. So I've certainly been around some coaches who've had some success in the NCAA tournament, advanced in the NCAA tournament. And so we'll lean on that and I'll lean on some folks and we'll do what we've been doing in the NCAA tournament and just try to be aggressive and go after it and play our best basketball and play our best 40 minutes and compete as hard as we can for those 40 minutes. For however many games were in that thing.
Played a great 40 minutes against Kentucky, and then Kentucky played a great 40 minutes against Tennessee. Give me an SEC team not named LSU, Kentucky, or Tennessee that you think can make a run in the NCAA tournament.
I think Mississippi State is very, very good. I think they're very, very talented. They've got a point guard, Peters, that when he's locked in and on, he's as good as there is in the country. Quindary Weatherspoon scoring 20-plus a game. They've got a bunch of bigs down there. Reggie Perry's really coming on as a freshman. I think Mississippi State is a team that nobody wants to see. And I think Auburn's another team because they shoot the ball so well and they're so You know, they have a formula that's really good. And you talk about a team that plays aggressively and plays with the ultimate confidence. I mean, when you play them, they're dripping swag when they're out there in pregame and just the way they play. And so, you know, I think those two teams are teams that, you know, could be, you know, if you get them in the second round trying to advance to the second weekend, you're not going to like what you see when you pop in that take.
Definitely not. And obviously, if any team's going to be in the second round, they're going to have great players. And, you know, part of the dynamic of being a high major coach in this type of a league and this type of a setting is dealing with players debating on whether or not they want to go to the NBA. And, you know, Kentucky has a player in PJ Washington that went through the process last year, opted to come back as a sophomore. And, you know, I don't have to tell you because you've played against him. He's completely changed his perception in 12 months. I'm curious, as you go through this, you know, moving forward at LSU, do you think his situation is something that you and other coaches could use as an example as if you're not ready for the NBA, you can come back and be the next PJ Washington?
Yeah, I think certainly when there's examples like that, you know, you can use those if it fits with what your player's going through. And so, you know, I'm a guy that I want everybody to have a great opportunity. I want them to have a great experience while they're here, but the opportunity is better elsewhere than have at it. And so we want our guys to be prepared for that next level. And if they're not prepared, we want to come back and do what we need to do and shore up those weaknesses to prepare them for that next level. And I think Kentucky and their staff has done a phenomenal job with PJ Washington. I think he's worked extremely, extremely hard. And so I definitely think it's a good lesson for some guys. It's a good route for some people to take. But every situation's different, and we want everybody to be successful. And if successful is leaving and going to make money and chasing your dream to play in the NBA, or coming back and really honing your skills and becoming a better player and positioning yourself to be a first round pick like PJ Washington is now, then that's something that's certainly on the table as well. So, I think what PJ's done has just been phenomenal. He was just tremendous against Tennessee on Saturday. He was tremendous against us. I think he scored over 20 points in each of the last 7 or 8 games. And so it's a credit to him and how hard he's worked and Coach Cal and Kentucky and putting him in really, really good positions.
Final thing, we are 27 days away from Selection Sunday. Not that anybody's counting, but what is the biggest thing that LSU needs to improve on in that time so that you are a team that has a chance not just obviously to advance and win a couple of games, but advance to the second weekend and have a chance to advance from there?
Yeah, we're working on that every day. We talk about what it takes to win a championship and the championship-level traits. Our transition defense has got to improve. Our set defense is pretty good when we get back into half court, but we've got to be able to get our defense set more often and stay between our man in the basket and be able to play it out from there. So if we can get our transition defense better, which also is going to require us taking a little bit better shots and not settling for some shots, if we can get those two things cured, I think we'll have a chance to make a run in March and really make some noise in the NCAA tournament, which would be great. So we're working hard every day at that. Our guys understand what we need to do, and now it's just up to us to go out there and attack it and get better in those areas give ourselves an opportunity to advance and win in March.
Well, Will, we appreciate a couple minutes. Know how busy you are. Good luck the rest of the way. And as always, look forward to staying connected through the end of the season.
Thanks, John. Appreciate you having me on.
We'd like to thank LSU head coach Will Wade for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. I want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And it's time now for our social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Send me your questions on Twitter. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And a lot of questions coming in, obviously, right now as we continue to get closer and closer to Selection Sunday. And our first question is going to come from Gannon. It's John, what does Arizona State need to do to get an at-large bid to the NCAA tournament? There's pros and there's cons with Arizona State. Because you have the pros, the win over Mississippi State, the win over Kansas, the win over Washington. Then you have the cons, the Princeton loss, the Utah loss, and obviously the loss to Washington State at home. Here's the deal. Right now, Arizona State's in a situation where it would be in the NCAA tournament if the tournament started today. But Arizona State right now is being projected to be one of the last four teams in the NCAA tournament. I always worry about teams in this position for this. During championship week, you are always going to see bid stealers emerge. Now, what do I mean by that? A team that is not projected to be in the NCAA tournament could win their conference tournament and get an automatic bid. That would knock a team like Arizona State out of the field. If Fresno State wins the Mountain West, if Bowling Green wins the MAC, these are the types of things you want to guard against if you're a program like Arizona State. Our next question comes from Howard County 4-H, and it's, John, is this Matt Painter's best overall coaching job to date? And look, I'm not just saying this because we had Matt Painter here on the College Hoops Today podcast last week. Matt Painter, and I don't know if it's his best coaching job pound for pound, inch for inch, but here's the facts. Purdue had a team last year that was a Final Four team before Isaac Haas went down with a season-ending injury. You lose P.J. Thompson, you lose Dakota Mathias, one of the great glue guys in college basketball, you lose Vince Edwards, you lose Isaac Haas, and you're still in position to win the Big Ten regular season title. I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. Matt Painter is the new Bo Ryan. Regardless of personnel, regardless of who's on that roster, you're expecting Purdue right now to be a top four or five team in the Big Ten on an annual basis. Our next question is going to come from USC Salmon's John. If South Carolina wins 13 SEC games, do they make the NCAA tournament? That is called speculating on speculation. But I will say this, South Carolina has one of the more unique resumes that we're going to see this year, and this is why. They have lost games to Wofford. Now, Wofford's a good basketball team. They're an at-large team, but they lost that game. They lost to Stony Brook, who's another good basketball team, but they lost that game. They have also lost to Wyoming, who's not having a good year, a 9-point game on the road. But they also have big wins. They're right now in fifth place in the SEC, but they're just 13-12 overall. If South Carolina can finish 5-1 down the stretch, and they're 18-13. I think it'll be hard to keep them out of the NCAA tournament. But in the games that South Carolina has down the stretch, the two right now that are against surefire NCAA tournament teams are Ole Miss and Mississippi State. Those are two games that Frank Martin's squad has to capitalize on. It's going to be interesting to track this team moving forward. Now, let's get to some nuggets.
Five good nuggets.
Five.
Six.
No, five. But you were close.
Nugget number one, don't judge a book by its cover. The biggest misnomer regarding Cincinnati this season is that the Bearcats struggle to score. They're averaging 74 points per game this year. They averaged 75 last year with Gary Clark, Jacob Evans, and Kyle Washington. Nugget number two, a hyphen to remember. Iowa State is now 11-3 in games where Talen Horton Tucker scores in double figures. Had 20 Saturday against Kansas State. Remember the name. Nugget number three, it's not easy being hunted. I want to point out that the challenge is being faced right now by Mark Few at Gonzaga and Eric Musselman at Nevada to keep their teams consistently engaged can't be understated. Both are going to be coaching heavy favorites who are expected to win every game they play, and both are coaching teams who could go months right now without an NCAA caliber opponent. Nugget number four, the company we keep. R.J. Barrett's triple-double against NC State on Saturday. It was only the fourth in Duke history. He went for 23, 10 boards, 10 assists, 0 turnovers. Nugget number five, hungry for more. Florida State's winning streak has now reached 7. Remember, this is an Elite Eight team from a year ago that brought back a large portion of its nucleus. A big week for Leonard Hamilton and company at Clemson and at North Carolina. Now let's get the games to watch, brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Games to watch.
Two for you Tuesday, Maryland at Iowa, Baylor at Iowa State. Wednesday, the big one, North Carolina at Duke. Also, Louisville playing at Syracuse in the Carrier Dome. And Thursday in the American, UCF at Cincinnati. Two teams that look like they're in prime spots for the NCAA tournament. I'd like to thank LSU head coach Will Wade for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. I want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for March Madness and beyond. And again, we are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Talk to you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel.